Professor Reich hat leider gemusst erwägen, er hat gebeten sollen verbreiten. Wir haben beschlossen, zu halten sich in unserer Diskussion bei 10 Minuten Redezeit von Onheim. Es werden sein zu mehr Redner, wenn wir es damit dürfen, dass kürzen bis 5 Minuten, gedei unsere Referenten sollen noch haben Schlusswörter und gedei wir so verändigen nicht später. Wie, wenn wir sagen, 15 noch eins, bitte. Herr Schöwe, wird gesagt, also gut sein, anrufen, euren Namen.
May I speak in English?
Yes, of course.
Can I have a question?
Yes.
Bitte,
Punkt.
How many minutes can I have?
10 minutes.
10 minutes, thank you. I'll speak from memory, mostly. I were...
Could you kindly...
My name is Geltman, G-E-L-T-M-A-N, Max. And I feel kind of out of place before all this scholarship. But if I were reading a paper here, I would have headed it, after listening to the distinguished speakers, I would have called it The Tragic Consequences of Exquisite Scholarship. I say tragic consequences because the scholarship is really exquisite. But it seems to be a passion among our people. When I say our people, I mean Jews, to constantly discuss things, whether they have relevance or not, but the discussion itself sounds so wonderful, and the scholarship is so fine, that the result of all the scholarship and the result of all these discussions really makes no point, because we listened to three exquisite lecturers on the Bund. Mr. Hertz's information is fabulously informative, but there is no Bund anymore because there are no Jews anymore. There are no Jews in Europe, and my belief is that it's largely due to the Bund. And this is... gets a rise out of somebody in the back, and I mean this for the following reasons, and I'm going to be more scholarly at this point. Listening to Mr. Hertz and the second gentleman from England, from Oxford, and I must apologize to the third gentleman because his Yiddish was not too clear to me. I could only catch certain parts of it, but I think he was talking a lot about the Polish iron. Listening to the fact that the, and they tell us, and we all know this, those of us who are informed, who are scholars in Yiddish and Jewish learning, that the socialist movement in Europe, by and large, didn't like the Bund. That's nothing that worries me. What I am concerned with is why the Bund wanted to be socialist. I am not concerned that Otto Bauer didn't like Jews, although he was born a Jew. I'm not even concerned that Trotsky said, I'm not a Jew, although our first speaker identifies him as one. I don't. He said, I am not a Jew. That's enough for me. If a man says he's not a Jew, he's not a Jew. And on the other hand, if a man says he is a Jew, he is a Jew. And he needs no other affirmation than that simple statement. He doesn't have to go to synagogue on Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't have to belong to the Bund. He doesn't have to belong to the Zionist Organization of America. He just has to say, I am a Jew. But if he says, I am not a Jew, he is not a Jew. So Trotsky is not a Jew. Otto Bauer is not a Jew. I've even seen Engels identify Victor Adler as a Jew, 20 years after he joined the Catholic Church. Now, if a man can be a Catholic and a Jew, although some Jews have even written about that too, but this is all part of that mystique that Jews like to involve themselves in, but this doesn't bother me either, so long as it doesn't lead to consequences. I would have liked one person at all these exquisite discussions for once to say, why do Jews want to go where they're not wanted, particularly by those who have made it the basis of their program? We don't want Jews. Karl Marx said, I don't want Jews. His friend Engels said, I don't like Jews. But the Jew says, we like you. And in Russia, they built a Bund, to keep to the subject of today's discussion. And the Bund was mighty in the councils of Jewish and revolutionary affairs. It was so revolutionary, it even scared some of the Goyim in the ranks. It even started the party before the Russians did. It was so revolutionary, they even had Jewish boys and girls give out leaflets saying, make pogroms on Jews. Jewish boys and girls gave out leaflets. Now everybody here knows it, because I assume you're all scholars. The Jewish boys and girls in the Rodnia Volya who gave out pamphlets and says, plunder the Jews. So they gave out pamphlets and says, plunder the Jews, who probably were their own fathers and mothers, they were told to plunder. But they were revolutionists. And when Plekhanov said the Jews are a tribe of snakes, well, it's okay with me. Plekhanov thinks I'm a snake, that doesn't bother me. But why should I be in his party? The Bund wanted to be in his party. The Bund organized the movement, which said to itself, we're Dafke, as they say in Yiddish. We're going to be in your party. You can call us vermin, as they did. You can call us snakes, as they did. You can call us garbage, as they did. But we're going to be in your party. We're going to be for progress. But why should Jews be for progress? Why shouldn't they be against progress? Progress is not a good word if it leads to Auschwitz. And I say the Jewish identification for 200 years with the theme of progress, as it is understood in the context among intelligent people, and I hope I'm talking to intelligent people, in fact I know I am, it is this identification with history, with progress, with social causes that are always good, that ultimately led to Auschwitz. And when you try to examine this point of view, and I tell you it's very difficult because the established scholarship and jury doesn't want this thing examined. They like to discuss that in 1901 to 1903, the Bund, although they wanted to be as good socialist as Lenin, Lenin said, we don't want you. And it isn't quite true, as our second gentleman and distinguished gentleman, I don't think he meant it that way. They left the party. They didn't leave, they were kicked out. In 1903, they were kicked out. Now, if you mean that's the same thing, if you walk out of a door or somebody boots you out the door, well, that's not quite the same to me. They were kicked out of the party, but not for long. They joined up with the Menshevik wing. But this business about Jews doing this is not something I discovered. Bernard Lazare discovered it. He remarked once, terrible thing among our people, we always want to make somebody else's revolution for them. I speak of the cuckoo socialism of the Bund. By cuckoo socialism, I mean any nest but our own nest. Dubnow mentions, I think, great historian, that Jewish boys and girls left the Haida, I think I quote him exactly, they left the Haida and went to the people. Not the Jewish people, it says, but to the people. And after they left the Haida, they gave out little pamphlets, you know, by Bakunin, great friend of the Jews. They organized parties in New York. It's a book outside I saw. Jewish and the Anarchist Movement in America was organized by the most notorious anti-Semites the world has ever known, before or since Hitler. One was Johann Most, who had nobody but Jews in it. Nobody but Jews in his movement. Who was a disciple of Herr Jürgen Dering, than whom there has never in the whole history of the world been an anti-Semite. This is what I mean that about exquisite, the tragic consequences of exquisite scholarship. Why should we worry what happened with the Bund in 1901, 2, 3, 5, 17, 19, and 21, they voluntarily dissolved themselves in Russia. Voluntarily, they said, they dissolved themselves. Well, you know, they didn't voluntarily dissolve themselves, no more than they left the Bund in 1903. Because at that same conference in 1903, it is tragically left out in all his discussions that the same Social Democratic Party, Bundists included, refused to permit the delegation from Kishinev to attend that conference. Now, all you scholars know this, that at the 1903 Congress, the delegation of Jews, Social Democrats from Kishinev said, let's put the pogrom on the agenda. They said, get the hell out of here. Why discuss the Bund? Unless we discuss it as something that we may learn something from. It is my contention, if I had time, say about an hour and a half, or two, or three, or four, I would like to go into this whole psychosis of this tendency, observed by others, of elevating our persecutors and our executioners just because they use the words progress, socialism, especially socialism. The minute somebody says socialism, a Jew drops dead. He cannot somehow do without it. He loves it. Why he loves it, I don't know. Because all that socialism ever offered the Jews was to become nothing. Literally nothing, because the socialist thesis on a Jew is that the Jew is nothing.
You have one more minute.
And in 1 minute, I will conclude with these remarks. It is the socialist premise that the Jew is nothing. Insofar as the Bund was a socialist movement, they too believe the Jew is nothing. Every socialist from the earliest days, beginning with authentic socialism in France by Mr. Fourier, or Marx, or Engels, or Plekhanov, or Lenin, or Trotsky, or Arabawa, all of them believe the Jew is nothing. He is neither race, he's not a race, Kautsky said that. He's not a nation, he's not a people, he's not an ethnic minority, he's not a cultural minority. He is offered by socialism a choice of forced conversion or death. Thank you.
The nächste Redner ist Dr. Scherer. Danach Frank Moishe Mischtinsky.
Es ist unmöglich, noch